Welcome to The Gaslighting Effect. I'm Angela, writer, teacher, cult survivor. After decades of being silenced, I'm finally finding my voice. Hi, listeners. I know it's been a while since I put anything in this season of Gaslighting Effect. This season, season four, has been kind of a departure. And that really, I'm just making verbal diary entries as I drive to work in my car, talking about what it's like to teach in the middle of a pandemic. I'm going to try and go back to the original formula of how this podcast started, though. You know, first season was about how I left the church and left my husband and basically ended up where I am now. And the second season was about being mobbed out of a job and what mobbing is and the phenomenon of mobbing and scapegoating in particular. And season three was dedicated to my father because it was really about why my father and I cannot have a relationship. So if you are curious about any of those things or really want to dive in depth to emotional abuse, verbal abuse, spiritual abuse, those things are also covered in season three, and I would welcome you to go back and listen to that. But what I want to do for season five is talk a little bit, okay, maybe more than a little bit, about the problems that religious people face, really super religious people face when they leave a very strict and controlling religion. So I was Mormon for over 35 years, and then I left, and when you leave, it's kind of scary. No one really understands where you're coming from. You can't talk to your family because they see you as an enemy, and they guilt trip you, and they cry, and they say things like, oh, you don't want to be with us forever. Why are you hurting us? And it's really hard. But you can't really talk to your neighbors that aren't Mormon. You know, I live on the East Coast, so it's not like being in Utah. Can't really talk to your neighbors who aren't Mormon because they also don't understand. They're like, it's just a church. Leave. What's the big deal? Like, they don't get it. But the thing is, not every church is the same. You know, I spent some time going to a Lutheran church and going to very liberal churches, and that was nothing like being a devout Mormon. Because those churches, they were just happy if they saw you on Sunday, and you could pretty much live your life however you wanted to. Very different experience. When I was Mormon, I felt like the teachings of that church, like that church was my identity. Okay, I was raised on these stories of we're persecuted and we have to stand up for ourselves as people. And it became like our identity. Or maybe I'm just speaking for myself. It became my identity, okay? So when I left, it was really scary. Now, my husband didn't leave. So I really, truly, and utterly felt alone. And the best I could do was find communities of people, strangers on the internet. So I want to spend season five talking about the dangers of relying on communities of strangers on the internet for your emotional support and to help you through struggles. Because when you come out of a very strict religion like that, you will hold on to any help or support that you can find. And not everyone who is there with their hand outstretched for you is a safe person. In fact, there are entire podcasts and podcast communities and Facebook groups and message boards that are started and grown and cultivated by people who are predators. You know, when you first learn about them and you tune into their podcast and you join their groups, you just think of them as these very wonderful, helpful people who are calling out the church for its toxic teachings, and you think that they care about you. And then the longer you're in them, and the more you listen to the podcast and you become part of these communities, which, by the way, are mostly consisting of very good people who are just trying to move on, just like you are, who are also in pain, just like you are, you start to realize that the people that are heading up these communities, that started these communities, really do not care about you. They care about their image. They care about their pocketbook. They care about being seen as experts in what they're doing, and they get a certain ego boost from being the center of attention. There was an interesting development in the Exmo community, which occurred over the last few days, and I'm just going to talk about that real fast because that is what started me down this rabbit hole of, hey, maybe it's time to wrap up season 4 and start season 5 and talk about this. There was a prominent and mostly very visible and loud ex-Mormon man, as is the tradition on this podcast where I give people fake names. I'm not going to say his real name because everyone knows who he is anyway. I will just say a little bit about him so those of you who know will know, but I'm not going to say his name. We'll just say that this man is very famous for sneaking into LDS temples with cameras and recording the temple ceremony and then putting those recordings online for people to see. So I'm going to call him, who's a very good, famous person who I can give them his name. I'm just going to call him Harvey, like Harvey Weinstein, because why not? Because it fits in this story. So Harvey really views himself as a very grandiose and clever and important person to know. And I think it's safe to say that he loves being the center of attention. And when I had first left the church, I really saw Harvey. Well, you know, I wasn't really sure how to see Harvey, to be clear, because there was always sort of a little red flag in the back of my mind with how outspoken he was and how free he was with his words. But then I wanted to believe the best of Harvey because he was pretty nice in these groups. You know, he would chat people up and he would give people his personal number. And he certainly had done things to help people who left the church. He had. So I knew that there were people who either loved him or hated him, but I didn't really fall in either of those camps. I was kind of in the middle trying to figure out how to see him. And as time has progressed, because this is what I do now, I watch people. I watch people before I make up my mind about them. It has become more and more clear that Harvey really doesn't care about anyone but himself. The first thing to think about in regards to Harvey, and really just about anyone else who's super prominent and may have, you know, an Exmo podcast or huge groups of Exmo followers, is why? How long have they been out of the church, and why are they still in this place where they are dwelling on Mormonism? I mean, most of us go through a stage when we leave where we get angry and we have to grieve and we have to deconstruct, and there are lots of things in Mormon culture that we need to unpack. And these are things which are probably not even exclusively a problem in this religion, but in other religions also, things like purity culture, spiritual coercion, wanting and needing to follow someone that you revere as a kind of leader. But at some point, most people get to a place where they want to move beyond Mormonism and Exmo groups. Most people get to a place where they don't want to stay there forever, you know? So maybe, you know, I started to think, why would a person just sort of sit in that place of anger and grief and deconstruction and never leave? Because Harvey, for instance, I don't know how long he's been around. as a prominent ex-Mormon, but I can tell you it's longer than I've been around as someone who's left the church. I left in 2012, and yeah, so we're coming up here on almost 10 years, right? Almost 10 years. And Harvey was a really big, prominent ex-Mo dude back then. So I'm willing to bet he was probably in that space several years before I was, at least. Same with some of these other very prominent ex-Mo podcasters and builders of community. They seem to be in the same place every year. They seem to repeat the same process with people every year. Now, is this because they just care about people so much and they have their hand out and they really love them and they know how hard it is, they remember how hard it is, and they want to help this community and it's their life calling? Because that I could see. Like, there are some people, maybe they would see that as a life calling and then they would stay in that place, you know, for a long time because helping people is their calling. Is that what it is? Or is it something else? Because when you think about it, if a person has left the church and they've done all their processing and deconstructing, there has to be a reason to stay in that constant emotional turmoil and hard work of helping people to leave and to process and to deconstruct, right? There has to be a reason. And if it's not to help people, well, what other reason could there be? Are they making money? Is Harvey making money? Are these other podcasters making an income off of this? I can tell you personally, I make $0 off this podcast. I actually lose money. You'll notice I took all the advertising off because I was making less off advertising than I was putting into the podcast than I was spending on the advertising promoting it. Okay, so for me, no money. It's basically a hole where I lose money. But a lot of these men who have their own podcasts and TikToks and Instagrams and huge groups that follow them, they are getting something from this following besides just helping people. They have foundations. Or they have basically these huge groups of people that kind of worship them. They do. They like revere them and think of them as amazing and are constantly lifting them up. So this would be another reason for a person to stay in this sort of tumultuous space where people are just trying to survive as they're leaving religion. So I don't know if Harvey is making money. I know there are certainly other prominent ex-Mormon leaders who are making money, and I will not devote this podcast to them. I don't know if Harvey is or not, but I do know that he seems to think he is entitled to send unsolicited nude pictures to women in the community if those women post thirst traps on their TikTok or have, you know, an only followers following. You know, I don't want to say that Harvey doesn't understand consent. I think it's more fair to say Harvey doesn't care because he has targeted women who do thirst traps or who have, you know, a fans only, an OnlyFans following, because then if anything comes out, he can slut shame these women, or he can say they were asking for it. Look what they were wearing. Look what they do on their private account. I didn't know any better. How was I supposed to know better? Okay, it's really bullshit. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's getting away with it, and people are believing him. And really, when he sends messages to ex-Mormon women where he doesn't even send nudes or whatever, where he's just talking to them, he makes a lot of them feel uncomfortable. He says a lot of things that are just sort of flirting with the line of what is appropriate. And he knows where that line is, listeners. He knows where that line is. Otherwise, he wouldn't flirt with it to begin with. So what's going on right now is that several of these women have come forward. And Harvey's response is to call them mentally ill, to call them drama queens, to call them unstable, to basically slut shame them, to say, oh, you have an OnlyFans page, so that is consent. He's misrepresenting consent. He's misrepresenting these women. And he's dragging their names through the mud. And in the meantime, he's projecting onto them by saying that they're smearing him. Accountability is not the same thing as a smear campaign. Being a prominent, well-known figure in a community does not make you entitled to behave however the hell you want. It doesn't make you entitled to make people uncomfortable. It doesn't make you entitled to sexually harass people. It doesn't make you entitled to send unsolicited nudes to people. And it certainly doesn't make you entitled to then go around blocking all the people pointing it out, asking for receipts, and then calling people liars when those receipts are provided. And it doesn't make you entitled to do whatever you want to in the community and still maintain your good standing and act like you're just this great, wonderful, amazing guy. Because Harvey, if you're listening to this, you are not a great, wonderful, amazing guy. But I really should thank you. Thank you, Harvey, because you have been the inspiration for this next season. We are going to talk about predators in ex-Mormon spaces. So if anyone of my listeners wants to come forward and talk about their experience in ex-Mormon spaces with predators and people who present themselves as trustworthy and as friends, but then turn around and do awful and ridiculous things, please do send me a message either through this recording or through the Facebook page, because I would love to highlight your voice. I think we need to get those stories out there. These populations are vulnerable and they deserve to be protected. And with that, I'm going to wrap up. If you enjoyed this episode, consider joining me on the Facebook page called Spotlight on Spiritual Abuse. You can message me there or post. And remember to always trust your instincts. Don't let others tell you how to think.